June 7th, 2018, approximately 9 a.m. We have just one item on the agenda. That is the Action Services Appeal permit number 18-01136. I think we might start by having the parties introduce themselves first.
Your Honor, I'm Dennis Reynolds for the appellant, and to my right is John Brenner, our first paralegal.
Thank you. I just want to make sure, just a few procedural items, make sure I've got all the paperwork on this. I have three briefs, the opening from the appellant, response from DCD, and then appellant's reply. And the hearing examiner, Clerk Ms. Walston, have put together an exhibit list. And I believe I have all the exhibits. I think appellants had submitted A1 through A18, I have those, and then there's A31, and thank you for the clarification, Mr. Reynolds, that was submitted, I think, yesterday. Yep. A31 to A36, and I think one of those, the SAW Enterprises, I think that was a duplicate, so that ended up being the CUP on that ended up being a DCD exhibit, so that's down to DCD 16. And then there's and there were three ordinances that, zoning ordinances that came in yesterday. One of them is already in the record. I think it was either DCD 2 or 3. And then there was 1977 and 1978, and those became A37, A38. And then I've got DCD 1 through DCD 19 as the exhibits. Have I got all that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Did you all want to stipulate to the exhibits in terms of their admission? Are there any objections? Or
we have no objections to the county's exhibits, Your Honor.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and admit all of those exhibits.
We may have a few photos of some cleaning equipment. Those submit as rebuttal exhibits, so just a few of them.
Okay, we'll address those as those.
John, we better show the other side of the pictures. Did you do that? Wait just a minute, Your Honor.
Okay.
I was too busy talking. Your Honor, as long as we'll approach, with your permission, just to give you the exhibits, but we won't have them
certainly
marked yet.
As long as we don't have any cords to step over, we're good. Last hearing, that was it.
I was a brand new attorney and just walked up to the judge without asking permission, so I always remember that. God's gift to the law.
No, that's
24
fine.
Years old.
So we can either address this now or wait until this comes through a witness, however.
Yeah, I thought I'd just address it with the witness. There's just a few photos he's going to refer to in his testimony. We have two witnesses.
Okay. All right. I think that, and at some point it would be good to have some clarification on precisely which zoning code on the nonconforming arguments should be referred to.
We'll do that.
Let's see. And then did you all want to start with a brief opening argument or to go right into witness presentation?
Well, you've had a site view, Your Honor, in our brief, so I thought I would just waive opening. I mean, you're very experienced.
And I have reviewed. There was a site visit earlier in May. That is correct. And then, yes, I have reviewed the three briefs. So. That's fine. I think with that, we'll let Mr. Reynolds, you present the witnesses you wish
first,
to call.
Jake, could you come forward to the podium, sir?
Can you state your name for the record?
Jacob Kennedy.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy, who do you work for?
Action Services.
And how long have you worked for Action Services?
This time, 14 years.
And are part of your duties for Action Services to control and maintain a stormwater system that's on the property?
Yes.
Would you explain briefly to the examiner the system as you understand it? Start with where the water comes from and where it leaves the site.
We have four type 1 structures on our property.
And a type 1 structure, if you could tell the examiner what you mean by that.
Please. It's a smaller catch basin where the water goes into it and the sediment falls to the bottom and the water flows out.
So the water comes from what direction? If you're standing in the yard looking at Fred Meyer, parking lot, where does the water come from?
It will come from the east, which is a drive aisle for Fred Meyer, and that's pretty much it, and then heads towards the west, towards 303.
So does the stormwater system pick up water in part, at least, off-site?
Yes.
Coming from off-site?
Yes.
And then, so you have four of the type 1 catch basins. And then the water, once it exits Action Services property, where does it go?
It goes through two type 1s that are in the loading dock for Kelly Moore, and then through a type 2, which is just a larger structure, and then into a type 2 control structure.
What's a good type 2 control structure? What do you mean by that? What does it look like?
It has a pipe coming off of the outstream or the outfall that goes down and basically slows the water down so that the sediments will stay in there before it exits.
And once it goes through this type 2, what did you call it again, a type 2?
Control
structure.
Yes.
Then where does the water go?
It goes out into the system that's underneath Highway 303.
So what are your responsibilities? First, do you have any responsibilities for managing the system, controlling what goes into it?
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, does Action Services have any instructions to its employees as to what can go into the Type 1 catch basins?
Well, just rainwater.
Okay. Are there any prohibitions against putting anything else down?
Yeah, don't do that.
That's pretty simple. And is that enforced to your knowledge?
Yes.
And that's your job, right?
Part of it, yeah.
Now, you also have jobs for, do you also have responsibilities for the maintenance of the system?
I inspect it on a regular basis, yes.
And what's a regular basis? How often do you look at the catch one?
At least once a month.
And that would include the catch one, the catch two, and the catch two / control structure, is that correct?
Yes.
So when you inspect it, do you also clean out the system?
If it needs it.
So when you're cleaning out the system, how do you go about it?
With the vacuum truck.
John, does he have copies of these? Could we approach the witness and give him some pictures?
Yes.
We can use ours. Yeah, thanks. Here, John. Use this. We're going to have a series of photos marked, sir, and have you go through the photos quickly. Your Honor, the first photo is a picture of the, I suspect, the vacuum truck. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
And I think our next number was A39.
Okay, so we'll mark that as A39.
Thank you, Honor. I'd move the admission of it. And then have the witness explain it, Your Honor.
Is there any objection?
Sir, I've been, I'm sorry, going too fast. Sir, we've had handed you what's been marked and admitted as Exhibit 839. What does that photo depict? What does it show?
That's the front end of a vacuum truck.
And ever logical, Your Honor, the next one would be A40, which is the back of the truck. If that could be marked, Your Honor.
That's marked as A40. Are there any objections from DCD on that?
Oh, could be. Anyway,
this is admitted then.
Okay. Sir Hennig has been marked as Exhibit A40, and I'll shut up and let you describe it. What are we looking at there, sir?
That's the front of the vacuum truck with the down tube going down into the fourth type 1 catch basin.
Okay. So when you're when you look at down at the basin, when do you know if you're going to clean it out? What do you have to see?
I'll put a stick in there and see how much sediment's in there. Check for a layer of oil on the surface.
And then I assume the tube works. How does the tube work, the system work? I know it's pretty self-obvious, but we need that on the record. How does it work?
It's a vacuum system. It sucks it out.
And the next picture would be, Your Honor, with the person in it.
We'll mark that as A41. Is there any objection from DCD on that?
No objection.
Sir, Henning has been marked as Exhibit A41. What does that depict?
That is somebody pressure washing the asphalt and letting the water go into the Type 1 to get sucked out with the vacuum truck. Okay.
So disaster services as far as the lot where it stores equipment, does it regularly wash and maintain the surface of that lot?
As needed. Okay.
And then the last picture, which would be, Your Honor, A42, I believe, in our numbering system, that could be marked?
That is marked as A42. Is there any objection, Ms. Diggle?
No.
Okay.
And, sir,
these are all admitted. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sir, looking at what's been marked and admitted as Exhibit A42, what are we looking at there?
That's the down tube for the vacuum truck in the Type 1 structure.
Now, you said there could be debris and oil when you clean these Catch 1 catch basins.
Typically, there's not oil on the surface of the water because it can flow out, except for the structures where we have an elbow pointing down. Then the oil will stay.
And that would be the Type 2 control structure?
That we have that in Type 1s as well.
Oh, I see. And so is it typical to see some oil when you clean an oil sheen or oil, whatever?
A very small amount.
How small?
Just a very, very thin film on the surface. Is all you really want to see.
And is that typical? And do you clean systems, and I take it you have duties to clean stormwater systems for customers, is that correct?
Yes.
And that would that be in urban areas like the site where Action Services is located?
Yes.
Is it typical to see an oil sheen when you clean?
Yes.
Is that expected?
Yeah.
Now, do you also maintain the equipment that Action Services owns?
Yes.
And that would include trucks and other mobile equipment, is that correct?
Yes.
And have you observed any spills from that equipment?
Yes.
And if you have a spill, what kind of spill have you observed?
Oil, like engine oil, sometimes fuel.
And how big a spill? I mean, would it be, can you tell us in terms of gallons?
I wouldn't even call it in gallons. Typically, we don't see that big of a spill.
Is there a cutoff period in your understanding where you have to report a spill to a college?
From what I understand, it was more than 5 gallons.
Have you ever had that kind of spill?
No.
So if you have a spill, like say you've got an oil a line that pops and drips some fluid down onto the pavement, what do you do?
I put down oil absorbent.
And could you explain how that works and what it looks like?
It's similar to like cat litter. It's a clay material that when you put it down, it just absorbs any kind of moisture or liquid.
Yeah, I take it, you sweep it up and just dispose of it? Sweep it up and take it off site? Are there spill kits on site?
Yes.
And are there spill kits in the equipment?
Yes.
In terms of maintaining the equipment, do you normally, where do you do the work? Is it outside or inside the shop?
Inside the shop.
And but have you repaired any equipment outside the shop?
Occasionally, yeah.
And if you do that, do you take any protections?
I will put drip pans underneath there, or I call them diapers, oil absorbent, cloth pads.
In your experience, just to summarize, at the Action Services side for maintaining the stormwater control system, have you seen anything that's unusual when compared to any other urban site?
No.
And you don't, like, have you observed like inches of oil?
No.
In terms of the spills, are they minimal?
Yes.
Sir, does that complete your testimony?
Yes.
This witness has to go to a job site, so if everybody has questions, I'd be appreciative if they all get asked now, including any you have.
I do not have any questions, but did you?
The county has one question about fuel. Have you ever had to factor out fuel from any of the catch basins?
On my site?
On your site or on the Kelly Moore paint site?
What do you mean by fuel?
Gasoline? No. Diesel? Anything that makes the truck run?
Not that I recall, no. Okay. I mean, just going on directly, just sucking up fuel?
Fuel or fuel sitting on top of water?
Not that I recall, no.
I don't have any additional questions, Your Honor. If this witness could be excused, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Is there anything from Ms. Nichol on that?
Nothing further.
Okay. You're excused. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We're going right along?
Yeah.
I saw after 500 of these hearings. I still enjoy doing it. Tony, you're next. I think I should first ask him how many hours he slept last night. Tony, if you want to go to the podium, we'll ask you some questions.
Good morning.
Morning.
If you could state your name for the record.
Tony Sandifer.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Sandifer, do you own a company?
Yes.
And what's the name of the company?
Action Services Corporation.
And are you, yourself and Action Services, are you the appellants in this matter?
Yes.
What's your business address, sir?
4948 State Highway 303 Northeast.
Why don't you tell us, how did you come about? What's your history that led to purchasing or creating Action Services? Where did you grow up, first of all?
Oh, I grew up in out in Ooallah in the county.
And you went to high school?
Yeah, South Kitsap High School.
So did you work while you were in high school?
Yeah, some. Yeah, I was clean barns and that kind of thing.
So when did you start working? How old were you?
Oh, 13.
And so you worked through high school, correct?
Yes, yes. I started Action Services in high school, actually, back in the late 70s.
So when you started in the late 70s, what kind of services were you offering to customers?
My first building was here in Port Orchard, actually, when I was in high school, right down on Bay Street, and swept the parking lot, maintained the facility, did cleaning, just whatever the building needed. That was my first property. And then I just couldn't find other work, so I decided to start building the business from there.
What year did you graduate?
1981. That's a long time ago.
So you were the guy that could loan money to your friends in high school. I'll move on. So when you started Action Services, where was the business located, sir?
When I first started, I just worked out of the trunk of my car, and but then in about 1980 or so, I moved over on Highway 303. My parents had bought a business called McCormick Iron, which is right next to my shop now, and it was an iron and structural steel place. So I had stored my equipment there and started to build my business, and built it up from there and had my first few trucks there, and then moved next door and started paying, kind of ran out of room there at McCormick Iron. So I moved next door to where the transmission, what was the transmission shop, and leased shop space and parking space from them. And then...
what year was that?
I moved over there about 1982, because I started like 1980 next door. So what about 82, I started parking there and paying rent to them.
Sir, now... You asked my firm to appeal a code interpretation, is that correct?
Yes.
And why have you appealed to the examiner? Just briefly.
Because the actions of the county are gonna put me out of business and my 30 employees that have, some have been with me for 20 plus years. And I've been there my whole career, my whole business has been there. And so I just felt that I needed to stand up for my rights.
What about your customers?
Yeah, I mean, we service service everything in Kitsap County, do private and municipal work. So between parking lot sweeping and maintenance work and cleaning and all that type of thing throughout the whole county. So that's a central location that we've always used, and our customers know we're there, and they come there to, to do business with us. So
going back to the history for a moment, so you leased in 82. Did you ultimately purchase the site?
Yeah, in 1988, the transmission repair shop had left. I think they moved. I can't remember exactly the circumstance, but I was one of the did an SBA loan on the bought the property. I was one of the first SBA loans in the area when I bought the property, and then we basically had start building the business more from there once we took over the building.
So what did you lease exactly? What parts of the property?
Oh, we had parked several trucks, and then we would use shop space inside the shop and do servicing of the equipment and repairs and that type of thing, the same thing that we do today.
So when we had the site view, there's a office building we walked through. Is that, do you own that office building?
No, I lease that office building.
But that's part of the business, is that?
Yeah, that's where our front end is, as you call it. There's the shop that we toured, and then the office is where we have administrative and customers and that type of thing. We started leasing that, I think it was the late 90s, because we ran out of office room in the other building.
So you used to have office operations right in the shop, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Like when we had the site view, if I recall, isn't there a desk in the shop?
Yeah, correct.
But that's not used for business anymore, is that correct?
No, that's just for that's actually for the shop use.
So when you rented the shop, has the building stayed the same?
No, they expanded it, added onto it, and added the bays and everything, and I think that was in about 83, 84, they expanded and built the bigger shop.
And on the exhibit list, you've asked us to provide a copy of the office that you've had or the building permit for the shop expansion, is that correct?
Yes.
So by the time you bought the shop, have you made any alterations since then?
Well, we'd hooked the property to sewer and did some additional fencing, paved the road, installed all the storm drainage, all that type of thing.
When you say paved the road, is that the access road behind the shop before you get to Fred Meyer's property?
Correct. Yeah. When we moved in there, it was all woods. There was nothing there, and it was just a gravel road. And so
You said it was all wood. So when you moved in, when you leased in 82, I understand the examiner's been to the site, but a site view is not evidence. Can you state in the record what was there? So first of all, your shop was there.
Right. The Kelly Moore building was up front.
Was the office building constructed then?
Yes. The office was there, yes.
Okay. So the front office building was there?
Yes. It was constructed, I think, like 68.
Okay. So what else was in the area?
There was Kelly Moore, my building, and then at the time, the McCormick Iron building, and that was it. It was, the rest was just woods and blueberry.
So if you're coming down, what is it? Is it Wheaton Way, or what's the street that leads to your business?
Yeah, Wheaton Way turns into Highway 303.
Okay, so Highway 303, what was on the highway near where you turned to go to your property?
Just the Handy Andy store in Kelly Moore.
So that was it?
Yes. There was nothing basically north of that property except woods and some distant houses.
So when you took over for JC Transmission, you knew what kind of activities JC Transmission was conducting?
Correct.
In the shop at the time?
Yes.
What kind of uses?
Oh, they did transmission work and automotive repair and that type of thing.
Do you still do repairs in the shop?
Yes.
Now, when you're repairing your equipment, is some of that work taken off-site?
The repair work?
Yeah. Sometimes do you take the truck someplace else?
If we have work done, yes.
Okay. But normally, what kind of maintenance of the equipment do you do in the shop?
Basically, regular maintenance, repairs, oil changes, belts, tires, that type of thing. Just the typical maintenance.
Okay. Do you allow any cutting or welding in the shop?
No, that we moved that outside years ago. It's been posted in the shops forever. So if we have to do that, it's to be done outside.
Okay. So when you started in 82, can you explain to the client, to the examiner, what I would call kind of the core service? What did you provide customers at that time? You meaning access services.
Right. For what time frame?
Let's start in 82, sir.
82, we did interior, like janitorial and building maintenance, and exterior building maintenance, parking lot sweeping, that type of thing.
And Your Honor and Counsel, the witness has a few notes to remember some of these points. And if anybody wants to see his notes, I'm fine with that. So if he's reading on occasion, that's the reason why. But again, if counsel wants to look at the notes before cross-examination, that's fine with us.
Okay.
It was that or practice forever and scary, trying to memorize all of this. I interrupted. Tony, please continue.
We did basically the building maintenance and the parking lot sweeping throughout the county, and then built the business from there to pressure washing and that type of thing. And then in the 90s, got into storm drain maintenance services.
And you said there was an adjacent business, was like a metal fabrication. What was the name of it?
It was McCormick Iron. My family had been in the areas there, I think, since sometime in the 60s. The building there was built, we were told, in the 50s. And my family had purchased the business, and they did fencing, railings, and structural steel out at Bangor and PSNS. I worked there briefly when I was in high school. I would help out on the weekends, but they were a metal fab shop for years.
So what kind of goods would they fabricate?
Structural brackets for the shipyard and for Bangor, for the piers, spiral staircases, hand railing. They did fencing out on the bases, that kind of thing.
So does Action Services fabricate any goods, materials at the site?
No.
So you don't sell like a bracket, you don't make a bracket and sell it, anything like that?
No, we only maintain equipment.
So you are, is it fair to say you basically are a maintenance business?
Yes. That's all we do is maintain facilities for customers.
Now you talked about, let's go through just so we're clear on the record. Now, your company cleans storm drains, is that correct?
Correct.
And it also sweeps parking lots?
Correct.
What about emergency building prepare? repairs. Have you been asked to do that ever?
Yeah, I mean, we were one of the only spill response companies in Kitsap County that I know of. But yeah, we do spill response for Fred Meyer, Home Depot, Lowe's, that type of thing.
But you're not in the business of erecting structures, are you?
No.
Now, I saw when we did the site view, if I recall, was there landscaping equipment in the yard?
Yeah, we use that for maintaining. We mow, do pond maintenance and that type of thing for clients.
Does the company install landscaping?
No.
It's still maintenance?
Yeah, it's just maintenance, keeping, the counties and cities will do reports, correction lists and stuff, and we'll go out and do that cleanup.
And do you mow stormwater detention ponds?
Yes.
But you don't create those?
No.
I assume you said snow clearing, emergency spills. Do you provide lift truck services?
Yeah, we'll use them for trimming trees or doing that type of thing, or doing pole light maintenance, replacing light bulbs, pressure washing buildings, facades and fascias, that type of thing.
Now, you talk about emergency response. Could you give the examiner a few examples of what you would consider an emergency response by Action Services?
Well, there's two types. We'll do fuel type responses for like Fred Meyer and several other gas stations. If there's a fuel spill, we contain the fuel spill and haul away the material. The other is real common is big thing now is food compactors at the big retails. They start leaking, which starts contaminating the storm drain. So we'll basically clean that mess up and use the Vactor, and we use hot water pressure washers to do the spill cleanups. And we do that throughout, actually, from Seattle south and throughout Puget Sound.
Any other examples that come readily to mind? If not, we'll move on.
Just emergency. We've cleaned up spills on the roadways before from customers. We had a customer drop a bunch of deck sealant years ago in Silverdale and flooded half of a street. So we did the cleanup for that and contained everything.
Does the business have any governmental clients?
Yeah, we work for a number of cities throughout Puget Sound. Over the years, we've worked for the state of Washington. We used to sweep a section of I-5. We've worked for the city of Kent, city of SeaTac, city of Covington, city of Federal Way, city of Lakewood, done work for city of Tacoma. Basically, that's all sweeping and maintenance, storm maintenance, that type of thing.
Was some of the services even out of state?
Yeah, not recently, but in the 90s, we worked Idaho, Oregon, and all of Washington, but currently now we just work the Puget Sound area.
So at the height of the business, how many employees did you have?
At the height, it was around 80.
And now you have approximately, was it 30?
Yeah, 30 employees. We work more regionally. We'll go out of state occasionally, but not very often anymore.
Do you pay retail taxes on the services Action Services provides its customers?
Correct. Most of the services, yes.
And if you recall, what's the business characterization on the sales tax form?
Retail sales service or retail, but it's retail sales. We pay retail sales tax on most all the services that we do.
Now, do you understand that an allegation in this case is that your company does not promote the public safety, health, and welfare by engaging in business at the location it's been for all these years?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, another service that I didn't mention we provide is cleanup of homeless camps when the city or the county makes customers clean up the homeless camps. We have to go in sometimes with police escorts and do the cleanup, clean up all the bottles and needles and human waste, and plus the parking lot sweeping we do. I mean, we sweep everywhere from the Hood Canal Bridge all the way to the end of the county. And if it wasn't for sweeping and parking lot operations, there's just a ton of garbage that we have to deal with.
In your opinion, does Action Services provide services that keep companies from violating the law?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the amount of needles and.
What do you mean by that? Could you explain to the examiner?
Well, I mean, we keep when there's cleanups required or when businesses get notifications, we're the ones who get called quite a bit to do those cleanups. I mean, there's other people that come in and do it, I'm sure, but we do a lot of that. Right now, we deal with a lot of homeless situations to help customers to deal to abate the biohazards and the needles and the messes that that causes.
Do you believe your company promotes the public safety, health, and welfare?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, we keep the things clean that help keep the storm systems maintained and sweeping the parking lots and doing the cleanups that we do. It, you know, it is public health and safety.
Now, let's turn to the property, sir, unless, do you have anything more to say about the services?
No.
Okay, let's turn to the property. Again, though the examiner's done a site view, Mr. Sandifer, that's not evidence. So let's say the examiner comes to the property and looks at the property. How do you get there? I mean, if you're driving from this building, how do you get to Action Services site?
Wheaton Way down to Highway 303.
And what's the side street you turn on?
To go into the office, the front end first would be Riddell Road.
And then you turn left or right off of Riddell Road?
I turn left into Riddell Square where the office is located.
And so Riddell Square, does that have a common parking area?
Yes.
And I take it that that parking area serves a bunch of businesses in Riddell Square, is that correct?
Correct.
Do you park, do you place any equipment or trucks in this common parking area?
A couple employee vehicles that they drive, you know, fleet type stuff, but that's it.
So then if you get out of the car, you walk towards, I take it, Action Services business office, is that correct?
Correct.
And in the business office, what types of activities occur?
Administrative, customer relations, when people rent equipment, that's where they come in to pay or reserve the equipment, contractors, that type of thing. Some customers come in and pay at the office versus mailing, that type of thing.
Do you stage jobs for the office?
Well, we plan and schedule.
But I take it the jobs themselves occur off-site.
Yes, yeah, everything that we do other than the vehicle maintenance is off-site. We do, you know, load equipment out of there, take it to job sites for customers, that type of thing.
Now, when you, now you have a yard and shop you talked about, is that correct?
Yeah, shop, yard, and office. And
where is the shop and the yard? That's where's that located in relationship to the business office?
It's to the north on the back side. You go through the office and that go out the back of the office and you enter the yard.
What's the topography?
It's just flat gravel with some pavement.
And so what's the square footage approximately of the yard?
I think the property is about a quarter acre. So about, I think it's 50 by 100 total.
And you said part of the yard is paved and parts in gravel, correct?
Yes.
And what uses occur in the yard?
Just storage of the equipment that we use and the rental equipment that we have. Okay.
Is the equipment you have stored in the yard, would that be typical equipment you would find in a rental business, equipment rental business?
Well, yeah, a lot of the equipment that we've actually bought from the rental yards from them when they've auctioned and that type of thing. So
we were at the yard yesterday. You were at the office yesterday, right?
Yes.
What was in the, can you walk through quickly the types of equipment that were in the yard yesterday?
Let's see, we have a light tower for night work. That is used on sites for night work. We have hot water pressure washers, snow removal equipment, field mowers for mowing, that we use for mowing ponds and doing the landscape maintenance, and I think there's a couple man lifts out there, a couple trailers. That's about it.
When you rent equipment, do you typically deliver it off-site for the customer?
Yes.
But people come to the site to rent equipment?
Yes, sometimes yes.
I take it if you're going to rent equipment, would you more commonly go to the office building instead of the shop?
Yeah, customers don't very rarely go to the shop. I mean, they're directed to the office. We don't advertise the shop address for anything. We use the office address for interaction.
Now, when you go through the yard, then where's the shop located in relationship to the yard and the office building?
It's directly to the north.
So it would be back from the office building.
Right. You have the office, the yard, then the building, and then the drive behind.
Sorry, I interrupted. Were you done?
Yeah.
Now, if someone drives to your business Riddell Square?
Yes.
Riddell Square, can you see the yard and the shop from the common parking area?
No.
So it's shielded by the office building?
Correct.
And I take it the shop would shield at least part of the yard?
Yeah, three quarters of it.
Yeah. Now, if you're in the yard, if you're looking towards Fred Meyer's parking lot, you've got two sides. Are those sides fenced?
Yeah, the yard is fenced all the way around.
Can anybody get in behind the buildings to really see the yard?
No, it's fenced and locked. Okay.
So if you're on a public street, is there any way to really see the yard?
No.
Now, there was some kind of drive, if I recall, behind your shop. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's an easement road that goes from the Fred Meyer driveway west out to Highway 303.
To your knowledge, is that a public way?
No, it's private.
It's paved, however.
Yes.
Now, does Fred Meyer own part of that access area?
They own, yeah, a little bit on the south side of the retaining wall.
Are chemicals stored at the site, sir?
Yes.
And how are they stored?
They're stored in the original containers. We have gasoline and that type of thing, and it's in UL-approved containers and inside flam lockers. And then all of this.
What's a flam locker?
It's a UL-approved storage fire. I don't know if it's fireproof, but it's for storing chemicals.
Does that have a special color?
Yeah, it's bright yellow and says flam locker on it.
Oh, that would tell you everything. How about motor oils or antifreeze or fluids?
Yes, kind of we have those are in the factory, either in the factory gallons or in the drums, and that's all sitting on secondary containment platforms inside the shop.
Now, the county asks you not to store any significant amount of gasoline on site, is that correct?
Yeah, so this last visit in July, they had informed me that there was a limit on the amount of chemicals that we could have, which was the first I'd heard of that over the years. But we complied and removed any excess chemicals that, you know.
So what's the most amount of gasoline that's stored in a container on the site as of today?
We have a cart, a special approved gasoline cart that we use for small engines, and I think it's 20 gallons.
That's the most?
Yeah.
Do you store any used motor oil on the site?
Yes, we use it to heat the shop in the winter.
And do you transport any of the used oil off-site for treatment?
We have a service that comes. We transport some, but we have a service that comes out and pumps it off. This last visit that we had too much quantity, so we got rid of quite a bit of the oil.
Have you had any chemical spills on the site since 82?
Yeah, there's been some minimal spills, but
You say minimal, can you orientate the examiner? I mean, how much?
I would say a gallon or less.
And you were here when your employee testified, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you have anything to add to his testimony as regards cleaning up spills?
No, I mean, it was pretty much procedure. One of the structures in question, that control structure, it came up a few years ago. We didn't even know it existed until a few years ago when the county pointed it out. We had not.
That would be the Type 2 control structure right next to the county's transmission.
Right. We didn't even know that existed. We had thought for years that the flowed out of one of the Type 2s out to the highway, and we didn't even know it was there. So
when it was brought to your attention, did you maintain it?
Yeah. Yeah, we took over cleaning, even though it's not on our property. We got permission from Kelly Moore to maintain it, but we didn't. I don't even know how long it was there. It could be 15 years, 20 years.
But did it appear to have trapped any oil during that time?
One of the initial visits, the county, when they pointed out to us, it had a bit of oil in it, but that was years of accumulation. Nobody had ever cleaned it. So then we started cleaning it on a regular basis at that point.
And how much oil was sucked up?
There was about a quarter inch of oil on top from what I saw, maybe a little bit more, but it always looks worse when it's sitting there than it actually is when you mix water and oil. So,
well, isn't that type of facility expected to trap oil?
Right, yeah, it's a tap. It controls water flow, but they also work like a separator, and they trap oil and debris, whatever may wash into the structures from the surrounding properties, ends up there.
Well, let's talk about the trucks. Do you have anything to add on the chemicals?
No.
Let's go to the trucks. So where are the trucks stored on the site? Maybe we'll start with the private access area and work around there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody comes to the site to say, I want to look, county inspector comes and say, I want to look at the trucks and mobile equipment,
yes,
where would they go?
There's equipment, some backed into the yard, but most of it's out in front of the building and along the access road on the property there. And then some, you know, that's in front of the building.
At any one time, how many trucks could you have stored at the site?
On the property itself?
On your property.
You know, it varies the time of year and what's going on, but probably 10 to 12.
And do you also store any trucks in Fred Meyer's parking lot?
Yes. Yeah, we were parking there long before Fred Meyer ever bought the property or existed. It was a parking area that had been used for years. And then when Fred Meyer built, working out easements, we granted them an easement to access up the road. And we had an agreement that we would continue to be able to park on the very south end of their property.
Now, on the south end of the property, how far approximately is that from Fred Meyer's shopping center building?
It's probably about 400 feet, maybe a little more.
Have you ever observed any conflict between the trucks and the customers coming to Fred Meyer?
No. No, we park in the stalls just like every other vehicle. We just use that one section. The parking lot's so large, it never affects their traffic flow.
Now, are you worried about leaks or spills from the trucks?
No, I mean, we keep them well-maintained, and we keep an eye on them. We have guys in and out at all different times, so, and we have spill kits if there is something. Plus, we can address a spill if there was one with the equipment that we have. If there was something, we could address it right then and take care of it.
If the examiner looked into the truck and asked to look at a spill kit, what would she observe? What does it look like?
It's adsorbent pads for adsorbent oil.
How big is it? I mean, the kit, is it enough?
They're in a bag. They fit behind the seat. I think they're rated at, on the bigger trucks, they're rated at gallons of oil. One in the bigger Vactors, it's like a pool that you can put under a fuel tank, that type of thing that unfolds. The other smaller trucks, they're adsorbent pads that are like 2 foot by 2 foot for oil. There's a small boom, that type of thing. Gloves, that, you know, it's just for small minor leaks that might occur.
Are the trucks all licensed?
Yes.
Are they all roadworthy as far as you know?
Yes.
When the trucks come back to the site, do they have any soil debris or other materials that they bring to the site?
Well, some trucks still have loads in them that if the work is done, then we go dispose of accordingly the next day or whenever the truck's used again.
Do you recall any materials, soil debris materials, ever being dumped on the site?
No.
That's not allowed, is it?
No. No, most of our material, especially contaminated catch basin waste, hydrocarbons, we take everything to PRS.
I guess to cut through this, can you recall any spill of any consequence by that? I mean, more than 5 gallons.
No.
Have you ever reported anything to the Department of Ecology as regards to spill?
No.
Because you didn't have to?
No, there's never been anything that's been reportable. I mean, most all spills that we respond to even are a gallon or two, even for customers. Very rarely we have a large spill. And if there's a large spill, then the fire department's called. But we've never had that on our site.
So let's talk about the regulations. Some of the chemicals and spills are regulated by the Department of Ecology, as you understand it?
I would imagine. Yeah, anything. Yeah, I would imagine.
And you've had Department of Health inspections by the county?
Yeah, I've had the health department out a couple times. There was a few minimal things of just storage of batteries. And
we're not going to get into enforcement actions, sir.
Right.
So just stay. We're going to go through this
quickly. Okay.
So stay with me. But they've had fire inspections, right?
Yeah, a lot. Since the 90s, I've had fire inspections with different
almost
fires.
Almost every year?
Yeah, it was hit and miss in the early years, but the past 15 years, it's been pretty consistent.
And when you deal with the county inspectors, have you made any requests of them?
Yeah, the only thing that I request is that they make an appointment, because I'm the only one being the owner responsible and have to deal with any of the issues. So I ask that that they make an appointment, and we set up a convenient time for them and meet and walk the property and give them access and let them make their list. And
do you understand the inspectors have a right to inspect?
Almost definitely. I just ask that they respect our space and time, that I'm not in the office a lot, and that they could just make an appointment. Usually the next day or when it's a few days later, we walk the property.
Do you have any problem with being a highly regulated business?
No. I mean, that goes along with the territory, actually. More and more all the time.
When you have had inspections, there were some inspections this summer, right? Last summer.
Oh, yes.
Time does fly. As far as you can determine, were those amicable?
Yeah.
And when you had, was the county employees you dealt with, would they give you instructions to try to, what I call technical assistance?
Yeah, they would give a list of different issues they wanted, either fire extinguishers, expirations, or electrical outlet covers, or cracked, or a lot of it was pretty minimal type of maintenance things.
Did you find that approach helpful?
Yeah. Yeah, we basically, they would either reinspect after we fixed it, or we would just call them and tell them it was done if it was pretty minimal, and they would sign, you know, they would close the deal.
No fighting, no screaming.
No.
Glad to hear. And the cats weren't born then, right?
Well, not that, not those. There's
not
other.
There's so on.
Every few years.
Now, you've read the code interpretation you're appealing, right?
Yes.
Now, do you know how that code interpretation came about? Why don't you briefly explain to the examiner the meetings you had with the county as regards to zoning?
I don't quite understand.
Well, do you recall going to the prosecuting attorney's office and having a meeting with Mr. Diener and other staff?
Yes.
And the county attorney's talking about a code interpretation?
Yes.
And what do you recall from that?
They were trying to, their observations was that we were an industrial use and didn't fit into the zoning of the area, is the way I understood it.
Did you agree to get that matter resolved through the code interpretation process instead of litigating?
I think so. There's so much stuff goes on, I'm not quite sure what.
So did you agree to prepare and submit a code interpretation?
Yes.
Why didn't you do that, if you recall?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't asked to.
You recall asking for some historic zoning information?
Yes.
Which we now have, is that correct?
Yes.
But you didn't have at the time?
No.
Well, in any event, a code interpretation is issued and you got a copy, is that correct?
Yes.
When you had the meeting, were you able to explain to staff kind of your full side of the story, so to speak, what you do, what the company does?
Yes.
So, as far as you knew, they had an understanding of your business?
I thought they did, yes.
Now, in the code interpretation, do you have any comment on the code interpretation, starting with how the interpretation describes what Action Services does?
Yeah, they're claiming that we're an industrial operation, industrial services, and it's...
What's your understanding of what an industrial service is? And I understand you're not a lawyer, so I just want your general understanding.
It's basically a manufacturing type facility that manufactures or builds things.
And does Action Services do that?
No.
When you say no, you mean categorically no?
No. Yeah, categorically no. We do maintenance.
Now, have you heard the county contend that no customers come to your site?
Yes.
Do you have a comment on that?
They never even asked, but it's not true. We have customers that come to the site, come to the office. Nobody comes to the shop because we don't advertise the shop as a place for people to come, but the office is where the customers do business.
But I take it you're not having customers like a McDonald's would have or something.
No, no.
And the services are provided off-site, is that correct?
Correct, yeah. We go to the client.
But I assume when you rent equipment, that service is provided on-site. You make the rental occurs on-site, is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, sometimes, or sometimes, you know, yeah.
Or somebody calls and you take the equipment.
Correct. Or they come in. Smaller clients, mom and pops, I like to say small businesses, they may come in and pay their bill, that type of thing.
But you get calls and you get computer inquiries, is that correct?
Oh, all the time. We try to be fairly high-tech. But
is it important to you to stay at the location because your customers know where to find it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's where we've been for over 30 years. That's where people identify where we're at and where to find us. And I mean, that's where I built the business from.
Do you understand that part of this process is for the director to look at the zoning code and determine first if Action Services is a permitted use?
Yes.
Do you see anything in the code interpretation where the director actually looked at the code to determine if you're already in existing use?
Not that I can see, no.
But do you understand that in the commercial zone, business office is a permitted use?
This is the way I understand it, yes.
How about equipment or rental businesses? Are those a permitted use?
From what I've read, yes.
Now, do you understand the interpretation makes a comparison between your use and a contractor storage yard?
Yes.
Do you understand that comparison?
I'm sorry?
Do you understand that your uses were compared to a contractor storage yard?
Yes, I read that, yes.
What's your understanding of a contractor storage yard?
My understanding of a contractor storage yard is a yard that they store and maintain heavy equipment for buildings and roads and that type of thing.
Does Action Services build anything?
No.
Does it construct a structure?
No.
Doesn't create landscaping?
No, we don't install anything. We just maintain it.
Don't build roads?
No.
Did you understand that the interpretation made the statement that your company is not providing services, quote, for large sections of the county, unquote, that you're not doing that?
I read that, yes.
Do you agree?
Not at all.
Why not?
We do maintenance throughout all of Kitsap County. We basically do maintenance for every major retailer in the county and every major shopping center and small shopping centers, but we do about 75% to 80% of all the sweeping that occurs retail in the county. We used to do about 95% years ago, but it's about 80% now.
Does that complete your answer?
Yes.
Now, have you read any of the comprehensive plan policies? Some of those were in our brief we filed, is that correct?
Right.
Do you believe your company promotes and meets the comprehensive plan policies for economic development?
Yes,
Why do you say that?
Well, we employ 30 people. We have a payroll of around $1 million a year that goes back into the community, and we maintain businesses throughout the county.
You keep those other businesses in business, so to speak?
I would like to think so. We try to, if the buildings look good and are well maintained, then they have more customers and they don't have issues with, solid waste and that type of thing.
Can you think of any time where your company has adversely impacted the public health, safety, or welfare? Something you've done has had an adverse impact.
No.
There was you've read the brief that the response brief that the county filed, is that correct?
Yes.
You remember an allegation in that brief that the trucks are parked in an area that is not designed for such use and wear and tear?
Yes.
Remember that statement?
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Not at all.
Why do you say that?
The Fred Meyer parking lot, our parking lot and the Fred Meyer parking lot were constructed for truck traffic. There's currently about a 6-inch asphalt base in the area where we park, well, throughout Fred Meyer. That area originally was a 4-inch base and it was redone, but there's about 6 inches of asphalt. There's no cracks, there's no wear or anything in the asphalt where we've parked the trucks since Fred Meyer was built.
There's some allegations in the brief about that the commercial business zone is not necessarily about commerce, but it's about drawing customers. Do you recall that statement?
Yeah.
Was your company drawing customers before everything else was built up around it?
Yeah. We were one of the few businesses there.
Mr. Sandiford, I take it you've had a few sleepless nights over this.
Yeah, for about a year.
If you're put out of business, do you have any place to go?
No.
What would you have to do?
I really don't know. We'd have to find something. But I don't know of anything that's, even available. I own the building. I've been there for my whole adult life, basically. That's where I've done my business.
Now, in terms of the zoning issue question, when did that come up? Have you ever heard that? And when did you first hear that there was a concern with your uses as compared against the zoning?
It's been a couple years. It escalated last year, but there was mention, there was complaints about parking at Fred Meyer a few years ago. But this last year, the county had escalated it to a whole other level.
Are you concerned about what's going on?
Well, yeah, it's my livelihood. It's all I know.
Well, this is your appeal. Why don't you speak from the heart a bit and tell the examiner your concerns, and we'll complete the testimony.
Okay.
Ready to do that?
That's kind of a tough one. Yeah, I'm just worried that I'm going to be, put out of business.
You think that's fair?
No. I'm sorry. I don't have the money. I don't have $1 million to move, you know, to build a new facility or to do all these things that they want and the things that they're accusing me of. I mean, we just do what we do. You know, we maintain for our customers and you know, I've had people working for me 25 years. I've had people that have retired working with me. And I don't know what those people are going to do because, I mean, they rely on me in this business to, you know, for their livelihood, mortgages and, you know, and everything. So I don't know what I would do or where I could go because, you know, I don't have that kind of money and wherewithal to, you know, as a big business or a government entity to spend $1 million or $2 million to build something. I mean, that's the property I have. I scraped to buy that when I was a kid and that's what I've built from. I mean, we've had a good business and I think a successful business and we've tried to maintain and do things in the community, you know, to keep things maintained. And we were one of the first around here to do anything on any scale.
Have you had any disputes with the county over other matters? I'm not talking about inspections, but anything else where you've had any issues with the county?
Yes.
And I don't want to spend much time on that, but could you go to the exhibit notebook? If we can approach and give the witness a copy, I have one more question.
Absolutely.
We'll be done, Your Honor. Thank you. Where's the letter? You ready?
Yeah.
Did you have a dispute with the county over some easement issues on another piece of property?
Yes.
Do you think this has anything to do with DCD's position? I don't know what you expect.
It would seem so, but I...
But you don't really know.
I don't really know, but it seems to be at times coming at me in all different directions.
Did you deal with Mr. Diener on that easement issue?
No.
So different person.
Yes.
Does that complete your testimony?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor, for your patience.
I have a few clarification questions, and then DCD may have some cross-examination for
okay.
you. I wanted to clarify the address. I know there's been some confusion on that. The business you had testified is 4948 State Highway 303, and then the office, which is adjacent,
correct.
It's not at that address. It's a different.
Correct.
What is the address for the office?
The address of the office is 1740 Northeast Riddell Road.
Okay.
Suite 120.
Okay. And then the use itself, it's the shop, yard, and office. That's what you would testify. The brief had mentioned, I think, a warehouse and shed, but it's really it's the shop, it's the yard, and the office or the what's
right.
at that those two addresses.
Right.
Okay. And then there's some material in the record about the number of trucks that are stored at that address, not at the office address, but the other address, and then
mm-hmm.
on the Fred Meyer.
Correct.
Can you talk about, like, over the years, how that's fluctuated? Like, there was some testimony earlier about the business had grown, and were there more trucks on the site then or less, or how has that evolved?
Yeah, there was... few more trucks several years ago, But it stayed pretty consistent.
What about earlier on, like say in the 80s, like before then when you were growing the business?
Oh, in the 80s there was four or five, and by the early 90s there was probably 20 vehicles.
Okay. Sorry, all my clarification questions for right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ms. Nickel, did you have cross-examination?
Yes, I had a couple of clarifying questions.
Okay.
One was also about the address, because I've also seen 4950. Can you explain what
that means? I brought that up, I think, in the original meeting we had. I don't know where that came from. I mean, the tax parcel for the shop is 4948. I don't know where the 50 is. I've looked that up a few times, and the county was the first that I ever saw that on the paperwork. So I don't know if the common road has an address out in front, separate. I don't know.
And that's not the address of the building next to you.
The building,
Ambrosia Catering.
Yeah, what's Ambrosia today, yeah, that's 4954. So, yeah, that just popped up with you guys, and I tried to get clarification, and nobody really knew.
Okay. You mentioned early on that the transmission repair shop moved in 1988.
Correct.
So they went to a different location.
Yeah, there was a divorce or something, and they moved.
Part of that space in that shop in 82?
Yeah, 82 I moved over there, and they rented me space to maintain the truck so I could get out of the weather, basically, and park there.
But their operation was still ongoing?
Correct.
And then in 83 or 84, you said that the bays were expanded?
Yeah, they expanded the property, the shop that is there today. They built that and built it bigger.
Okay. So that was done by transmission?
Correct.
Can you explain a little bit more about the transmission shop and what they did? Was it like your typical repair shop where somebody brings their car in and they do transmission work?
Yeah, I mean, they did transmission work. They built, did repairs. They built actually four-wheel drive trucks for themselves. They did four-by stuff and just all kinds of automotive things, and worked on trucks, different sizes, that type of thing.
But it was customers brought it to the
some of it, yeah, a lot of it, but a lot of it too. They had their own equipment and trucks there, building 4x4s and hot rods and that kind of thing, and restored hot rods of their own, and just kind of an all around shop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned a metal shop, and I'm sorry, I missed the name of it.
It was McCormick Iron.
Talking about their business, do you know when they started there?
McCormick Iron originally, I think it was about 1966, 65. It was, I mean, way before my time. I know the building was built, I was told, in like 1950, mm-hmm. and it was actually a Crazy Eric's warehouse, and then the iron shop moved in the 60s and did their fabrication there.
Do you know if they got permits for their business?
I don't. Did the file search. The county has no record of anything in that property before 1995, mysteriously.
How about, do you know what the zoning of that property is now or was back then?
What the zoning, it would be the same as mine. When we started, it was it was a permitted use. It was a business commercial use at the time. There was no, that I've seen, they say there was no industrial zoning then. There wasn't even that classification in existence that I read.
You went through your core services,
mm-hmm.
service, that janitorial you did in the early 80s, started doing maintenance.
Yes.
Storm drain maintenance in the 90s. It's going to sound ridiculous, but I want to make sure it's in the record. You don't perform those services on site. It's by nature they're off site.
Correct. I mean, we maintain our own facility, but no.
You also talked about when Mr. Reynolds got into the property, you talked about the view from the office,
mm-hmm.
and that the shop portion. portion is on the Fred Meyer side. Can you describe what the view from Fred Meyer would be looking at your site?
They would see the building, the gate, and the top of the trucks. They're elevated, what is it, about four, well, depending on the angle, I don't know, 5 feet total above where we're at. So from the parking lot, sitting over at the parking lot, you see the face, the top third or half of the building and the top of the trucks that are parked there.
So they could, and what's your fence look like?
Oh, there's a chain link fence around the building.
The
building blocks the view of the yard itself, other than the gate opening on the side of the building, but the rest of all the yard is blocked by the building. You can't see it from any public street or from Fred Meyer.
Do you park your trucks inside the fence or outside the
fence? It just depends. I mean, honestly, with all the homeless and theft problems we've had, there's more stuff inside the fence now than there used to be. Right now, we can get three or four in there. Most of the rental equipment and the small lay-down equipment takes up most of the yard.
That brings me to the next question. What kind of equipment do you rent?
We rent the light towers, the pressure washers. We rent the mowers, that type of thing. I mean, it varies. I would say, I don't know, 25%, 30% in the summertime. It's less in the winter.
And then you mentioned that you store chemicals, paint, fuel. That's for your own use, or do you?
I mean, it's for our own use. There's chemicals. There's de-icing chemicals there. There's that we use off-site, basically, and supply to customers. De-icing agent mainly, you know, for sites and retail. We will supply that for clients.
One question. This. I wasn't out on the site, so I'm just looking at pictures.
Oh, I understand. Sure.
We have your pictures in our notebook, so if you want to refer those to them.
Oh, okay.
He's got those in front of
it. Are we done with this one?
Well, there's one picture from the DCD's exhibit.
Right, that's what I meant.
That's not in this book.
It is, John.
Oh, it is?
I mean, it is, Tony.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I will.
We organized that. And, Your Honor, we stipulated all these exhibits.
Correct.
Oh, that's fancy.
I'm sorry, Ms. Nickley, you were referring to exhibit. Okay, I've got it.
So the area in red, kind of hard to see on this, that's what the county on the parcel search is your parcel, which is 48.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
Part of the L-shaped parcel that Ambrosia Catering is on?
Right, we have an easement for that.
Is the easement the whole?
Yes, all the way out to the highway. So it goes from all the way through.
And so it looks like to me that the vehicles on your site are also crossing the red line, which would mean they're being parked on the easement property. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say that, yeah. Yeah, it could help.
So can you tell me where the fence is compared to the parcel line?
So what's your question? My fence?
The fence that
means your yard. The yard?
Yes.
In the front corner of the building, right here, across from here goes to the side fence. Does that make sense?
Keep your voice up, Tony. So we get that.
Yeah. Make sure the microphone captures everything.
Okay, so the across the east side of the building over to the fence and wraps around the building in the back.
Okay. So only the yard part goes on the side of the building.
The side and around the back, correct.
So sometimes you can park 3 or 4 vehicles back there.
Yeah, it's mainly lay down equipment, that kind of thing. Things that, that needs to be secured that can walk away. Yeah, it's inside the shop building.
Maintenance on your vehicles?
Yes.
I had one follow-up question, Your Honor.
Go ahead, Mr. Menace.
Thank you. Unless you want to go first.
Go ahead.
Can we take a break? There's only 2-hour parking, and I need to move my truck.
Okay. We don't want anyone to get tickets.
Last time it was a $40 ticket. To deal with. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Is there any objection to that?
No.
Okay. Why don't we take a short recess, about 10 minutes, and then you can move your vehicle. And I know that's a challenge around here.
Yeah, it happened before, so I just was kind of watching the time I got here, and I don't know when they do their thing, but.
Let's go ahead and we'll be off the record and take a 10-minute break, and then we'll go back on. Thank you.